morning. How are you guys doing? Hey, do we make some noise for those people who are joining us on live stream as well? Can we make some noise for them? Welcome, guys. Thanks for the ride. Hey, if you're a guest here, so glad you're here. It's the first weekend of the year. I'm Naeem, one of the pastors here, excited that you're along with the journey. Man, this is great, isn't it? The beginning of the year, first weekend of the year. It's awesome. Some of you guys are brand new to this place, and so we're excited that you're here. Let me just tell you a couple of things about this month, right? First of all, there's a lot of expectation around the first month of the year, right? There's a lot of possibility of, man, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. There's a huge expectation, maybe even, you know, the possibility, the opportunity to make a change, right? How many of you have got some things you want to change this year? Anybody? You got some goals? Awesome. Yeah, of course we do. But also this year has this this pressure to change, right? The beginning of the month, it's like there's a pressure that you, it's like, I need to come up with goals. Like, look, let me explain. Have you ever, maybe you've just recently had this conversation. You know someone and you start talking to them and they tell you all the goals they have for this year. And then they go, hey, so what about you? And you're like, well, it's just going to be awesome. Like, that's all you got. You know, but there's a pressure. I hang out with people, and they're pretty driven, and they've got all kinds of goals, and I feel pressure. I'm going to do something amazing this year. I'm going to climb Kilimanjaro. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. Just making up crap. Like, I just got to come up with stuff. There's a pressure to that. Because, see, here's the deal. I know that there's some things I really, truly need to change in my life. How many would you agree, right? You really, really know you need to change them. But then there's also like this other thought I have that I also feel like there are things that I could never change in my life. That there are some things I feel like I could never really change about me. Like, for example, like long distance driving. I have a dilemma with that. Okay. I'm not a consistent driver, speed limit driver kind of guy. Okay, I'm either fast or slow. I never use cruise control, and I almost put this up online for you, but I was kind of distracted. I was gonna put up a picture or a video of an Instagram. I'll show it to you right now. But it was this picture, this video right here. This was me, and I was like, is this a moment that I should do a story? You know, what are you guys doing? I'm stopped by the popo because I'm getting a speeding ticket. So I don't know what you got for Christmas, but I got a speeding ticket. Yes, doing 15 over. Yes. But you know, I sweet talk my way out of it. I start, my go-to line is this: officer, you have beautiful eyes. That sometimes works, but it does not all the time. But he gave me 4 over, still got a ticket. Not bad. That's my problem. I don't feel I could ever change that, but I know that there are certain things, more important things, that I really do need to change. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to have a conversation about changing those things in your life that have been bothering you for so long. Now, for some of you, it might seem trivial, though these things might seem trivial, because it's maybe connected to maybe, you know, your weight, or maybe it's connected to something that you might go, other people would look down on me about just something like that. But you know it's much deeper than that. So regardless of what it is, I want you to think of the thing that you want to change, and then I want to ask you a question. Do you really want it to change, or do you just want it to be transformed? Like your life. Do you want your life to change, or do you want your life to be transformed? Because I know that there's so many of you, you have so many other words over your life. I mean, I know some people who are thinking, you know, I'm believing this year is going to be just wonderful. The year for me, the word for me this year is flourish, or the year for me is, you know, thrive, or the word for me is, you know, all kinds of different words. I'll tell you what the word for me is over you guys. And that word is transformative. Like, so beyond anything else this year, I'll tell you, I'm going to be committed to praying this word over you guys. Now, You might be, this might be your first time, you're wondering, I don't even know if I'm going to stay here. Hey, here's the deal. If this is your first time, I'd love for you to join us for the next couple of weeks. And if nothing else, if you're wondering if this is the church for you, and if you're joining online, you're like, I just kind of tuned in. Hey, join us, journey with us this year, because my prayer to you, for you, is going to be this word transformative, because it's a deeper word. The word chrysalis, if you're wondering, if you saw the bumper video, you're like, what is chrysalis? Chrysalis is a transformative state that a caterpillar goes into to turn into a butterfly. Some of you guys are going, that's a cocoon. Well, sir, it's actually, a cocoon is for a moth. For a butterfly, it's called a chrysalis. You're like, that's so pretty. Yes, it is. Okay, so what if this year you created a chrysalis to experience some transformative changes in your life? Like, what if that was the goal for this year? I mean, I know there's a lot of different things you want to accomplish, but what if you thought, okay, this year is going to be a game changer for me? I mean, think about this, okay, a little bit. In 2 years, it'll be 2020. You're like, oh my gosh. Yeah. My question to you is, what do you want to look like, be like, or have accomplished at 2020? Like, stop thinking this year. Think further. Think long term. Because there are some of you, you have inside of you a dream, an idea, a goal, that by 2020, you're like, man, I really wish that would happen. But what the problem is, in 2019, you're going to start. But the dream, the idea is so big, you have to start today. There are some things that God's put inside of you that if you don't start today, you'll never reach in 2020. And so that starts with a bigger idea, bigger concept of not just change, but a transformative lifestyle. What does it look like? What does it mean? And so the passage of scripture that I want to really focus on today is found in Romans. Let me read this for you. If you got your Bible, if you got a phone, you can go online and look it up. But it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let me read this out for you. Verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Let me just stop right there. Here he's talking about living a certain kind of life that is so intertwined with the way you are created. He's talking about like you living a life that's extremely intentional, that it seems like it is a sacrifice because it seems like you're doing the things you really need to do to live the life you want to kind of want to live. In fact, it's the kind of life that you were meant to live. And he says, if you want to live a life that is a good steward of everything that God's given you, besides the thank you things that you say and besides the things you pray about, if you want to live a certain way, you need to live a certain way. And in light of God's mercies, you got to be tapped in to what God is doing inside of you. And that's why I think, like, if you're going to have a transformative change in your life, and regardless your age and stage, I mean, regardless if it's like, I want to lose weight, or I want to change my career, or I want to have a better marriage, or I want to get out of debt, or I need to get emotionally healthy, or I just need to get over this unhealthy habit, regardless of all any of and all of those things that you're thinking about, it really truly starts with, this transformative change starts with this idea of like really submitting yourself to a higher power. For some of you, you know, it's like, it's Jesus, you understand what he did. Others of you, you're wondering what it is. And this conversation, this idea of transformative change cannot start with this realization that there is something bigger at play, that you were made intentionally and you were created intentionally and you need to live intentional lives. Now that's just verse 1. Now verse 2, let's read out loud together. Okay, can we do that? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Do not conform. Okay, let's do this again. All right, ready? Okay. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and improve what God's will is. he's basically introducing two different concepts now. He's saying, I want you to live a transformative life. If you don't, you live a life that basically conforms to the pattern of what's normal. And basically what he's saying right now is, if you don't choose to change, not just change your habits or change just certain things about you, if you don't live in a transformative way, you'll be forced to, tempted to live a life that pressures you to conform into the norm, into what you're kind of already used to, doing the easy things. There's too many things, they're competing. There's too many ways that you can actually get derailed from your life. So the question I could ask you is, hey, what will you transform this year, right? What are you going to transform in your life this year? What's going to happen? But I think for some of you, the question might be, what are you going to conform to this year? Because if you don't get intentional about transforming this area of your life, you will conform to it. You'll conform to something else. And the scriptures say, hey, there's something deeper. That's why this idea of chrysalis, this idea of transformative change requires, and our working definition is this, it requires a revision of three things: identity, beliefs, and behavior. So many of us do one of those things. Some of us are tempted to just do one. You want change, and you go straight to behavior. There is a reason why when I was in the gym in December, there was no one there. And then when I go back in January, the world is there. And their pets. Like, what? What's going on? Why? Because at the beginning of the year, people are like, I gotta get healthy. What do? I gotta go do this. And then what happens? And we know there are certain areas of our life we want to change, but we just go to a quick, let's change a behavior. And so many times we do this spiritually too. Oh, I gotta change. And you change behavior. That's why some of you, you're here. That's awesome. That's great. You're like, I gotta do this. And that's awesome. It's wonderful. But that's not enough. It's not enough. Because that's just behavior. If you want transformative change, it requires a revisioning of identity, of who you are, because there's some false identity stuff. There's some false self-image. There's a false narrative that you're believing that needs to be revisited and looked at again. Oh, I can never be this person. I could never do this. I could never do this. I can't be that person. I can't do this. This will never happen. Da, 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 da. There's a lot of I can't. There has to be a revision of beliefs. There's some beliefs about yourself, God, people, the world that you believe in. You have to revision that. It's not true. It is not true. I guarantee you. I'll tell you, I've been doing ministry and church work for a long time, talking about God. I know that there are certain things about God in this moment of my life that I believe that are just not true. That eventually I will go, I didn't quite understand that. Because there has to be, we have to evolve, we have to grow. For some of you, your beliefs are not wrong, they're just incomplete. You have to revision those. You got to revision the idea of, okay, what does it mean? Okay, how does getting out of debt connect to my identity, connect to the belief system that I actually operate on, and then you actually do the behavior. Then you change the habit. And so many of us, we start with what? Behavior first. We're like, I'm not spending any money. Till there's a sale. Like, I'm going to do that. I gotta do that. Those shoes never go on sale. You're like, I'll do that. I'll fix that. Let me get this. I'm going to refix this. I'm back. I'm not spending money. You're like, what? What are you doing? What is it? Like, for example, I love Diet Coke. Any Diet Coke people? Diet Coke? Okay, it's not bad to admit Diet Coke. Like, yeah, now, finally, yes. Okay. Diet Coke. Now, see, to me, I believe that Diet Coke cannot hurt me. Why are you laughing? It doesn't have any calories. You know that, right? I don't know if you guys know this. Write this down. It doesn't have any calories. It doesn't. So I think I can drink enough Diet Coke, as much as water, and I'll be fine. Because Diet Coke is liquid. But it's not true, is it? Right? It's got that thing in there, right? Aspartame or something like that? Or something? Yeah. So that's not true at all. But in my head, if I'm trying to get a certain, you know, weight class, if I'm trying to lose certain pounds, if I'm trying to do certain things, in my head, I'm like, okay, I just avoid certain things that don't have any calories. It's not enough. It's deeper than that. There's deeper issues to why you've been struggling with your weight for 10 years. There's an issue. There's a reason why your marriage is not really, let's just be honest, it's never worked. And it's like, it's slowly falling apart. There's a reason. There's a reason why you can't make a relationship stick. And it's not because you don't wear certain kind of clothes or you don't do certain things or you're not in certain places. I've seen so many single adults move from one church to the next, to the next, to the next. What they're thinking is, I just need to be in the right church to find the right people. That is so foolish. It's not true. It's incomplete. It's deeper. There are deeper issues. Now, we can just talk about change, and I can give you some other stuff about, hey, here are five things, and hype you up and go, it's going to be awesome this year. And 6 months later, you're going to be like, it sucks. But we can do this again. 2019, January, hey, it's going to be awesome. And at some point, you're going to go, you've said it. It doesn't work. It's not true. And some of you are there already. So we have to understand we are much deeper than that. We are much more complicated than just quick fixes and Instagram, you know, life quotes. We are so much more complicated. Our marriages, our finances, our health, they're so much more complicated than that. And we have to look at, okay, what do I believe about myself that is not true? What do I believe about God or this subject or this issue that's not true? What am I doing that is unhealthy when it comes to this area of my life? You got to go through all of those things. Let me give you a couple of questions if you're taking notes here. Number one is this, right? What could be false in your identity? What could be false in your identity? Number two, what could be flawed in your beliefs? Just flawed. And what could be foolish in your behavior? There's just foolish stuff. Because if you don't know this, the scriptures, when they say, hey, if you don't intentionally move towards transformation, you're going to begin to conform. It's not like, oh, these are spiritual things and have nothing to do with reality. This is, the scriptures are so profound because we are discovering now why the scriptures are actually true. For example, Dr. Richard Hansen, he's a PhD. He wrote this book called Hardwiring Happiness, okay? A bestseller, in which he talks about this effect. He's talking about neuroscience and the brain and how it works, and he's talking about this idea of Velcro. He calls it the Velcro Teflon effect. And he basically says that negative experiences are like Velcro to our brain, and positive experiences are like a Teflon. Basically, negative experiences stick to our brain so much faster than positive ones and create a memory so much deeper. They are just Velcro, man. They're Velcro. Negative experiences are Velcro. Positive experiences are Teflon. And what is Teflon? They slide right through. There's no stick. It's a no-stick pan situation. They don't stick. He said, we are hardwired that way. I think some of us, we go, no, some of us are just born positive. Yeah, but research is proving time and time again that there is some truth to the fact that we were created a certain way. And if you don't believe the story, wherever you stand on that story, that there was a disconnect, there was a fall that took place in the Garden of Eden. And because of that, there's something that's happened to us. And that we, as humans, we were created human, because being human is spiritual. It's not like, oh, they're spiritual and this is human. No, God made us with bodies, and part of being human is part of being spiritual. But there has been a shift. There's certain things that have changed. And one of the things is that our brains are hardwired to negative things. And that's why the scripture says, hey, if you don't spend time being transformed, you will conform. It'll just happen. And so this guy right here, so the guy in the book, he talks about why, because of this, you have to, and this is science, science language. He says you have to take positive things or truth, and you have to, check this out, you have to hold it in your mind long enough to make a memory. Sounds weird, isn't it? But when you take that idea and put it into spiritual terms, it says this, that you need to take God's word and meditate on it. Because there's something about meditating / holding a thought in your mind that has the power to transform you enough to where your brain begins to create a memory to it. Have you ever smelled something and all of a sudden it brought back a memory? You're like, oh my gosh, what was that? Like some of you are like, oh my gosh, I don't like this. I don't like this. Some of you, it just brings a smile to your face. You're like, why am I smiling? I don't know. It smells great. Because your brain is so complicated and it's so profound. It has the power to really transform you inside out. It's very interesting in the book that he was writing, he talks about that so many of us look for peace and joy outside. Like they're people who are looking for satisfaction. They try different things. They're trying consistently to be in the right job and be in the right relationship, right environment. They're just wanting the best situation. They want their best life. They want their best situation. They just want this. They're looking for stuff. And he says, looking for stuff, like going and putting yourself in environments or looking for someone else to give you that, is like going and eating junk food. And so for example, junk food, the reason why you crave junk food, okay, besides that it's yummy, okay, is the fact that you're not really full. But if you were full, if you took real food and you're just full, you won't crave it. He says certain people have not created a positive, good, truth core base about themselves. So that's why they need it from everybody else. Now, he didn't connect this in his book. I'm connecting it. I'm saying that's why science and faith are connected. That's why when the scriptures tell us something, there's actually so much meaning behind it. That is why there's a reason to why you keep doing the same things every year and you have just stopped for some of you, or others of you, you're so discouraged because it's not working. If it doesn't start from the inside, it will never manifest itself on the outside. So when you want to get out of debt, it's going to start inside. There's something about your identity. You know what? It's okay if people look at us and they think we're poor. For some of you, that is the toughest thing. You're like, uh-uh, that's not happening. Why? Because it's part of your identity, isn't it? You're like, dude, no. That's a trigger thing for me, man. I can't go back to that. It's complicated then. Unless you start from the inside, it'll never work itself out to the outside. And as long as you start from the outside, you'll never truly experience transformative change in your life. And so this series, this conversation that we're starting this week is the next couple of weeks talk about what does it look like to take the lies, take the false narrative that are in our heads, and replace them with truth. And so before we end here, I want to do this. I want to just tell you, finding truth about your situation is very tough. It's extremely hard. And it's extremely hard to focus when you hear that sound too. I get it. I'm with you. We have no idea what that is. Anyways, but we can do this, right? We can focus. So what does it look like? What does it mean to start from the inside out? What does it mean to have truth in our hearts? I was watching, I was listening to Ryan Seacrest, Live with Ryan Seacrest. Yes, one of my go-to radio shows. But no, he's a good guy, I think. I don't know him. But anyways, he was talking about some things, and he was giving this girl some advice. And I've listened to his show long enough that he gives advice. And he gives actually pretty decent advice. He really does. He gives decent advice. And I thought, wow, this is great. But, you know, this is so generic. I mean, the last thing he said was to this one girl, the last time I heard it, he said, you know, you make sure you follow your path on your own journey. I was like, yeah. What? Like, what is that? What is that? Sounds great, though. Follow my path on my own journey. What? What is that? And it is hard to find out what truth is sometimes. So here's my proposal. Here's my thought. What if you join me on the journey for the next month and read the book of Proverbs with me? We kicked it off. Those of you who follow me on social media, I kicked off reading a chapter of Proverbs, and now the book of Proverbs in the scriptures, kind of sort of in the middle of the scriptures, if you have an actual book. 31 chapters, 31 days in the month of January. Start day one, read a chapter, and I post a pass of one of the scriptures, one of the verses that I find that speaks to me on there. This journey for this month is basically being intentional of replacing some of the false narrative, the false beliefs, value systems, identity, thoughts that we've put on ourselves, replacing it with truth in our lives. Some of us might not even know what this truth looks like, might not even know what that means. But if you chase after it, it is life for your body and your soul. See, so many of us focus our lives on what is good, what is bad. We've never asked ourselves what is wise. And I'll tell you this, now we'll talk about it next week, but wisdom is the voice of God in your life. Wisdom is the voice of God in your life. And so we start with that. Let me read you this one passage of scripture. This is Proverbs 1, chapter 7. I'm sorry, yeah. Chapter 1, verse 7, sorry. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I want you to understand this verse for the very first time. Some of you have had a false belief on what this means. Okay, so I need to be scared to death of God, and that's the beginning. Oh, I have to remind myself that He is awesome and I am not, and I have to understand that I'm scum and He's good. Let me explain it to you. Have you ever been on beside a cliff? And you thought, oh my gosh, you were so scared. Like, have you ever done that? Have you ever been like, you think you're not afraid of heights, and then you stand near a cliff or something, and you're like, oh my gosh, it freaks you out. Like, recently I was in a place where they had like glass floors, right? It was on top of this skyscraper building and all that, and people were like jumping and taking Instagram photos on this glass floor, and I just stepped there, I'm like, oh my gosh. Freaking out. Like recently, between services, this couple came up to me and they were like, they're as a family, they're going to go skydiving, and they invited me, and I was like, no, not gonna happen. See, like, you see this height right here, like right here in the floor, I'm good. Okay, but if there's a lot more distance, I'm not just in awe, I'm scared. This, when the scripture says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, it says when you see the awesomeness and the majesty and the depth and the greatness of God, it's so great, when you see it, it'll scare you a little bit. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's when you understand that someone so much bigger, deeper, awe-inspiring has created you. That you actually are fearful. You're like, this is so big. He says, that's the beginning of wisdom. And so, as we end this morning, I'd love for you to continue this journey with me. If you're online, love for you to jump online for the next several weeks as we talk about what does it look like to revisit our identity and our belief and our behavior in the light of the fact that God has created us and He's given us His word, wisdom, to change these core things in our life so we can experience transformative change. I think for some of you, though, this moment is for you to make a commitment not just to change that area of your life. I think it's to start with the first step, and that is a commitment to spiritual transformation. Commitment to, okay, this moment, I am committing full on, fully, spirit, soul, and body, identity, belief, behavior to God. And so I want to lead you in that as we start the year off. Because again, we're not going to start the year off with, hey, I just want to change this and get better at that. No, we're thinking long term. Not just fixing some things. We're talking about transformative change in your life. So let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for this moment. God, we know that it's not time that heals or time that creates momentum. It's not time that changes things in a profound way. It's moments and times that do that. And this moment has the power to create so much momentum in people's lives. It has the power to create so much healing in people's lives. It has the power to start the process of transformative change in their lives. And for God, I pray for some of them. I pray, God, that for some of us, God, that there has been negative experiences that have latched on and become strong memories and they've infected and affected our identity. And they've actually changed some of our beliefs, and that's why we behave the way we do. But God, this morning we're saying, as together, regardless of our age or stage in life, regardless of who we are, we're saying, God, today we're saying that we're going to commit, we're committing, we're intentionally saying that Jesus, we're saying that the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of truth in our life, beginning of transformational truth and change in our life is the awe-inspiring fear of you. It's the acknowledgement of you. And so we say, we commit our lives to you. We commit our minds to you. We commit our spirit to you. Those of us who are watching online, I'm praying the same over you, that this would be a moment right now for you to say, Jesus, I'm committing my life to you. Holy Spirit, I'm committing my life to you. Take this year, take this month, transform me from the inside out, because that's the only way transformation works. So God, would you lead us? God, as we respond this morning and we sing this song, some of us are going to go light a candle. Some of us are going to receive communion as we do. Some of us are going to go to the cross. Others of us are just going to sit and soak. I pray when we do this that we will hold in our minds a thought long enough for it to create a memory, that we would meditate on your love, meditate on your presence this moment before we move from this moment. God, we love you and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name.